find your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 19. Tonight we are dealing with a subject that if you have not experienced conflict in a relationship, let's just say you're doing very well, because it's a real life occurrence, not just in a marriage, but in every relationship you can think of, friendship, employers, employees, church members. It happens. I believe it is important to understand what God expects us to do when those relationships do become ruptured in some way. We're going to look at David and Saul tonight, and we're going to look at how David responded to a ruptured relationship that he and Saul had. Look there in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. The Word of God says, "And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." We can see that he escaped with his life, and that's going to happen again as Saul's going to look after him and go seek after him to take his own life. I want you to remember this before we pray. Well, this is a verse I want you to meditate on in the week to come, and as it refers to this study, and that is Romans chapter 12, verse 18. You can jot that down. We're not going to go to it right now. But Romans chapter 12, verse 18, I'll read it. It says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That is Romans 12, 18, and that we will be coming back to that. But let's ask the Lord to help us understand the Word of God tonight. Father, I do come totally dependent upon your Spirit. And Lord, I have nothing to offer tonight to these dear folks. I have nothing to offer. But Lord, your word has a wealth of wisdom, encouragement, and reproof and instruction. Lord God, and I pray that we would feed off of that word tonight, and that you would strengthen the brethren. And Lord God, give us wisdom, Father, to know how to handle ruptured relationships for your glory. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Relationships with loved ones may end at times in a negative way, and for many different reasons. The list goes on, hundreds, why relationships end. They are severed, and it leaves us feeling lonely many times and hurting hearts, frankly. But you know, the heart of Christ, even as his children go through these things, the heart of Christ is for reconciliation to occur when those relationships are ruptured. He wants us to seek reconciliation, although it's not always possible, but as we will see, God's people must make a great effort. We must make an effort in order to do that. So in this lesson, we're going to study biblical truths for dealing with ruptured relationships and how to respond in a Christ-like manner. Now, I believe one of the most valuable gifts that God gives us on this earth is the ability to have relationships, to have friendships, to have a spouse, to have relationships with our mother or father or son, daughter, whatever the case may be. Think about that. Aren't relationships, aren't they helpful? Aren't they encouraging? Think about the people that you enjoy being around and where you draw strength from and encouragement and iron sharpening iron, that type of thing. That's a gift from God. And we need to rejoice in that. But boy, I tell you, it really hits us hard when some of those relationships take a hit for some reason. We know that friendships and don't last forever many times. People that we had as in a church setting or work setting or whatever, friends that we had met, childhood friends. I know a childhood friend that I can think of today, and we don't talk often, but when we do talk, we pick right back up where we left off. Isn't that fun? Of people you hadn't talked to in years, and you call them and talk to them, and it's as if you had just been talking a minute ago, and it's been 15 years. It's neat how that happens. That's the beauty of relationships and friendships. One of those is my buddy buddy Brian Spivey. We grew up. He lived across the street from me. Me and Brian, man, we just ran together from the time we were 5 and 6 years old all the way up into our 20s until we went our separate ways. And Brian's a good friend to this day. I love Brian. And the only thing I got against Brian is a Gamecock. And that just, he's a South Carolina Gamecock. But we won't hold that against him, okay? Right, Brother Gary? I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. I love Brian. We always give each other a hard time. Actually, we had the opportunity, to God be the glory, to lead Brian to the Lord after I came to Christ. And that was a special moment. But friendships are a special gift from God, and those type of relationships are. A research conducted by Utrecht University suggested that relationships often have a shelf life of less than 10 years. After surveying 1,000 men and women, the university reconnected with over half of them from 7 years later. And this is what they found out. Only 30% kept the same friends they had 7 years previously. At some point, we all are going to navigate some ruptured relationships. And sometimes the breakup is painful. It's difficult to deal with, entirely unprovoked many times. And such is the case we see in the Word of God tonight with David and Saul. It was an unprovoked rupture there that came about. Notice there in your handout, the verse is given there in 1 Samuel 16:16. It was Saul that sought after David in an indirect way. David was a shepherd boy. And he wanted someone to play for him. And Saul agreed to their proposition for this search to begin, for somebody to come and play for him. Well, they found David. And the relationship began, and it began on a good note. In fact, a strong note. After he came and played for him, and with the evil spirit there to for it to depart as David played, then David was recruited from Saul to be his armor bearer. So the relationship was strengthening, and it was going very well. But then something happened. David defeated Goliath. And that's when the story took a tragic turn. And so when David returned from this great victory over the Philistines, rejoicing exploded in the streets. People lining up, as you would see here in this coming week in Jefferson and Athens, the Christmas parade, people lining the streets and observing and celebrating. But that was a scene, and David coming in, the people just lined the streets. And I want to tell you, Saul did not take that well. The women composed a special song in honor of David. As you notice there in your handout in 1 Samuel 18:7, the women answered one another as they played. And said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, you better believe at this very moment, Saul gave in to an extreme dose of jealousy. It got him. It gripped him. And there was a jealousy over these, the women's obvious favoritism that they showed, and what was taking place. But you got to remember, Saul got to this point, he was going to murder David because of this jealousy. By the way, that's what that stuff leads to. You don't play around with jealousy and envy. It will lead you down a road you never want to go down. And it will leave you crushed and destroyed and people around you. But nevertheless, that's what has happened here. And can you imagine, as David dodged this javelin and almost lost his life, can you imagine, what in the world is wrong with this man? What have I done to him? I've been playing for him. I'm his armor bearer. I love him. I respect him. And now he's trying to take my life. I mean, what's going on here? So David did nothing to attack Saul. He didn't speak of him critically, nor was he disloyal. But he honored Saul's position. And now, you know, many of us have lived through a David and Saul experience, not where necessarily someone was looking to take our life in this degree, but we've had people who were our friends and we had a close relationship at some point, and now they're not. What happened? Maybe someone grew angry over a disagreement, a dispute. an offensive word or whatever the case may be, and maybe it's just a simple misunderstanding, and boom, that person is showing hatred, and there's a rupture there, and these relationships are damaged even in families. I mean, you guys can think of maybe testimonies you've heard. Maybe you're currently living through a family situation where it's been ruptured and where there are family members that don't even like to be in the same room with one another. Now, that is bad, folks. That is wrong. But what took place to cause that? I mean, people that have a hatred for one another because all these things. There aren't any easy answers to this, but the questions are ones all of us will eventually face. And I want to focus on this story, and as we see from David and Saul, as we look at the truths that teach us to rightly respond to broken relationships. Number one, we need to see the roots, and that's the first blank, the roots of ruptured relationships. Or if we were up in Minnesota, it would be the roots of ruptured relationships. Right, honey? Is that how they would say it? Roots. Still can't get there. But anyway, the roots of ruptured relationships. Why do relationships end in the first place? It's conflict. Why do best friends stop speaking to each other after so many years? Why do married couples suddenly decide on a divorce? And why do church members spontaneously start hating each other? Although there are many different situations we could look at, we can generally trace a failing relationship back to a breaking point. And I want to talk about a few breaking points here. Number one, letter A, we see that these relationships are broken by sin. That's the most obvious one. It can be sin that breaks the relationship. In this case of Saul and David, it was jealousy. But you can fill in the blanks. On sin breaks up the relationships. And we saw that as soon as the women started praising David. And the jealousy sprung up in Saul's heart. And notice in your handout there in 1 Samuel 18, 8 through 9, it says Saul was very wroth. I mean, he was irate. He was furious. And it displeased him. And that he was getting this attention. And verse 9 says, "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." Wanted to kill him. Listen, David didn't write the music the women were singing. It wasn't subtle propaganda and a campaign for him to manipulate and overthrow the king. No, you know what it was. It was an insecure Saul. Who simply responded in a way that was carnal and ungodly. Saul was all worried about maintaining his power and his prestige and his influence and his place in the kingdom. And here we have him reading into things thinking David's simply trying to knock him out. He wanted to praise for himself, and that's sin. And I tell you, sin destroys relationships, folks. And that's why we need to strive to keep short accounts with God, first of all, but then with each other. Because that can lead into some wicked stuff. Stuff that hurts families and destroys families and even destroys churches. But it was. And as we see there in your handout, Proverbs 27:4 says, "Wrath is cruel. And anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" That's how wicked and destructive it is. And jealousy inhabited Saul's mind and spirit. And I want to encourage you, brethren, if you're here tonight and you struggle with envy and jealousy over something or someone in your life, you confess that to God and say, "God, forgive me of that evil spirit." Because it will ruin you and your family. And it will rupture relationships. And if somebody has that towards you, you pray for them. Listen to this quote here. "If someone is leaving you behind and you are becoming jealous and embittered, keep praying that he or she may have success in the very matter where he or she is awakening your envy. And whether he or she is helped or not, one thing is sure, that your own soul will be cleansed and ennobled." Isn't that something? You know what you do when you have a sense of envy and jealousy because something? Because, hey, let's be transparent here. It does happen to all of us. We'll look at somebody's life, something they're experiencing, something that's going on, a position they have, something that they've experienced, some of the tension that they got, we did, whatever the case may be. But what we got to do is pray for that individual and pray that they will succeed even more at it. And it just truly departs from a spirit of pride, doesn't it? But this sin had destroyed a good relationship. I will say this. Christian love is the only kind of love in which there is no rivalry or jealousy. Christian love is the only love that has no rivalry or jealousy. Zero. That's what God's people must have. And that will help us and strengthen us in our relationships. Then secondly, we see not only is it broken by sin, but it's broken by a stand sometimes in our relationships. Sometimes relationships are broken because we cannot compromise. We see that this in David and Saul's story, but you know, our minds go to another account in the Word of God where we saw two good men that had a relationship that ruptured. That, as you look in your handout, was found in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement, didn't they? They're on their missionary journey, and they had a strong relationship. And in fact, it's interesting because Barnabas played a key role, as we've been studying in Acts. Barnabas played a key role in helping Saul be accepted with the other believers. Befriended him and loved him. And helped him and believed in him. But here they come to a point where they just got a strong disagreement. And they're going to have to work through that. And it was all about John Mark. Paul did not think that John Mark was fit to go, and Barnabas did. And they basically came to a point of contention where it separated them. And we see that it came to the conclusion where they couldn't work together. And as you notice in your handout, the verse says in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. Now, honestly, as we look at this situation, we could make a case that either of them completely right. Either of them, you could have said, hey, this guy has a point or this guy has a better point. But honestly, the truth of the matter is it just was an obvious rupture in the relationship. Now, those are sometimes where we will have to make a compromise or we don't make a compromise. And sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But then there are some issues, quite frankly, where it is obvious we just have to make a stand against something. Where it ruptures a relationship. And we, thankfully, we do know that John Mark comes back around and Paul gives that testimony. And I believe Paul and Barnabas' relationship was reconciled. I believe that. And I do believe Paul recognized that God was working in John Mark's life. And so that was neat to see. But there are times that, quite frankly, we as Christians have to take a hard stand against something. Notice there in your handouts, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Peter's going to go through a list of characteristics of people who are living an ungodly life. And verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked, and that was a time where we walked in ungodliness, lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatry. It's just an ungodly life, really. But notice number 4, very important. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You see, we all will face times even from not just lost people, but there will be times where we, even believers, will have to take a stand against, and a relationship will suffer because of that. Because what we'll have to do is we'll have to take a stand because there are believers out there that live openly sinful lives, unfortunately and tragically. But what we as believers have to do in a gracious manner, but honestly and unapologetically, we must take a stand and say, that's not who I am, and that's not honoring to the Lord, and I can't participate in that. And there a lot of times it'll break a relationship. But I want to tell you, it is, if you had to break a relationship to honor the Lord, you will not regret it. You won't regret it. It's not saying it'll be easy. But when you make a stand for the holiness of God, folks, you will have no regrets. And we see that the Lord will help us in that. And God blesses those who take a firm stand for what they know is right. And by the way, it's not about just taking a stand against something. I think it goes even further that we are responsible for not tolerating sin in our lives. And just sweeping sin under the rug and acting as if there's nothing wrong with it. I think that's just is wrong. And we can take a stand with the right disposition. I remember as when I first got saved, I didn't participate in the things I used to. And there are some friends that understood very quickly that something had happened in Brinson's life. Why isn't he going to these places with us anymore? Why isn't he participating in these things? And God was truly doing a work in my life, and I understood that I had to make a stand. And I lost some friends, unfortunately, because of that. Friends that just didn't want to talk to me anymore. But then, even as a Christian, I can look back in my life and where I decided to make a stand, and I really took it from some brothers that were very critical of my stand. And it hindered the relationship. I look back on that, I don't have any regrets. Now, if I would have done it in a pharisaical way, if I would have done it in being ungracious and in an ugly manner, I should have regrets. But there's no regrets in standing strong against sin in the fact of a relationship when a relationship is ruptured. But we see that there it happens with standing. Then thirdly, not only is it broken by sin and broken by a stand, but it's broken by sanctification. Sanctification is letter C. That's the final breaking point for a relationship. And sometimes it results at different levels of spiritual maturity between friends, as I mentioned. Relationships thrive on common ground, do they not? That's where we really can connect and talk with each other. We're just at common ground. Well, hey, folks, you start getting around some people and they don't want to talk about the Bible. They don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to talk about answered prayer or even struggle. They don't want to talk about a struggle spiritually. And whatnot, you're going to see that's going to cause some ruptured relationships. But you know, God has given us clear commands about when we are growing in the Lord, if we cannot be in fellowship with someone that's also growing in the Lord, may not be the same area of growth, but if they're not seeking to have their feet pointed in the right direction towards growing in grace, then there has to be a break of fellowship. Okay? The Bible does not make any gray areas about that. In fact, notice that that verse in your handout, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 18. Very clearly it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And he's going to go through and list five rhetorical questions. They're basically five comparisons. About light and darkness, righteousness, unrighteousness, and even Christ with Belial, which is Satan. And that word literally it transliterates from the Hebrew word meaning worthless. Which is compared with Christ and Satan, the life that follows Satan in darkness, folks, is worthless. And it drags us down. And we see there is a battle of good and evil, as you even see in these passages. And the good is Jesus, and the evil is represented by Satan, who is the head of evil. And the Bible gives us commandments to come out from among them and be separate. And I do believe that there are times like this where it will speak of a testimony of God's grace in your life and my life. And folks, there's nothing wrong with taking a stand, although it may rupture relationships. It would be much better for you to lose a relationship and have the power and plan of God for your life than to stay with a relationship that's dragging you down spiritually and hindering your walk with the Lord. Notice those verses there given from Genesis. That is in reference to Abraham and Lot. And it tends to see there that there was a rupture in their relationship because Lot was struggling with greediness and worldliness. And Abraham finally said, "Look, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." And so they made an agreement there to go their own ways, and we know where Lot ended up, don't we? But I'm thankful that Abram had enough wisdom and insight to see this is not a good influence for me or my herdmen here. And families, we got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in that. When you see, especially I'm talking to some parents here tonight, when you see some friends that are being an ungodly influence, you have to sever that relationship. Can I get an amen right there? You have the authority to sever that relationship because you are commanded by God to provide a protection there. And you have to be able to sense that. But even in your own life, as adults, we run into situations where we can find someone dragging us down very quickly because of a relationship that shouldn't be. But then we see number two, how do we respond to these ruptured relationships? How should we respond? That's number two, the response. When a relationship is falling apart and in a sense we feel stuck. Many times we're just let down, even depressed and just disoriented and wondering, okay, what is going on here? This is a relationship that I like, that I did like, but something has gone wrong. And what should we do? Now, let me be clear here. Some relationships can be restored, but let's be very real tonight. Some cannot. Some will not be restored. We hope so. We long to. We want that. But the reality is, some may never be. But in either case, there is the responsibility for God's people to how do we respond in that period where it's been ruptured? And that brings me to point A. We need to remember the good. We need to remember the good. When a relationship is breaking, there will be times of hurt and confusion and pain. But we can't just leave it like that. In the case of David and Saul, as we're looking here in our story, we have to see the very fact that David benefited from his relationship with Saul. Even Saul tried to kill him. I believe David remembered the good. You will recall some things that David benefited from his relationship with Saul. Number one, remember he got to fight Goliath. And that was the first step there. And then you'll remember that he met his best friend through Saul, which was Jonathan, Saul's son. He also married Saul's daughter. And we see that he also had some training, although it wasn't all good training, but he at least got some experience with a ruler and a king, King Saul, and he had that position. And so there were some benefits. And what I'm trying to draw here in this what this lesson is drawing us to understand is that even in ruptured relationships where they've gone bad for some reason, there are things we can learn from them and grow from. And be helped by. And we got to see the good in that. Because if you focus on all the ways that person offended you and feel like you messed you up and you feel resentful, that's going to ruin you. That's not what you focus on. Focus on some things that God taught you through that mess of the rupture. Maybe some things God taught you during even the good times that you had in that relationship. It'll help you. I learned some things from a brother who strongly disagreed about a decision I made one time and quite frankly was ugly about it. And I felt really bad. I really did. And my wife did too. And we were pretty crushed about it. But God gave grace. We prayed through that, and I wanted to retaliate. In fact, I did one time through email. I sort of just went and defended myself, and I realized that his response, it was doing no good. It felt like it was even building worse, and I just called it off in my heart and gave it to the Lord, and I just wrote back and said, "Brother, we're just going to have to agree to disagree." And I wanted to say so much more. I wanted to validate myself. I wanted to defend myself. But folks, we got to be careful about that because that can come from a spirit of pride. You got to guard against that when it comes to a ruptured relationship. And I had so much peace after I just gave that over to the Lord. And I still don't agree with that, with the things that that brother said to me. But I gave it to the Lord, and glory to God, He helped me through that. And He'll help you when we go through these things. But then, not only remember the good, but B, don't force others to take your side. The word there is side in letter B. Things weren't just tense between David and Saul. Saul wanted to take David's life. It was real serious, folks. And when Jonathan found out about his father's plot, he did warn David. Now, David could have very easily at that point tried to draw Jonathan in and pin him against his dad. He could have done that. You think about, this man's chasing my life. Jonathan, your dad is a maniac. Get away from him. But you know, David didn't do that. You know, that says some things about David, I do believe. He knew it would have been wrong for him to drag Jonathan into the dispute with Saul, his daddy. But David wisely did not put Jonathan in that position. And I think that is something that you and I have to really be careful of. And notice the verse there in Proverbs 16:28 in your handout. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, when we see a ruptured relationship, as God's people, you may have some valid reasons on what that person did was wrong and sinful, just like Saul was wrong, wasn't he? Saul was wrong, right? In the way he was treating David, he was wrong. He was crazy. He was a murderer at heart. But look what the way David responded. And so my thought here is something that we got to be careful with. We got to be careful about focusing and emphasizing the person's fault when they do mess up. Blowing it out of proportion or magnifying it to make them look even worse. To make ourselves look better. Because that can stem again from a spirit of pride. And let me just quote this verse. You all know it, but I'm going to quote it anyway. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. And what? But with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, when I find contention in my heart towards another person, there's no gray area. It's pride. No gray area there. When I have contention against another person, lost or saved, take it to the bank, folks. Pride. And David combated that by the power of God in his life. And he showed, even though he could have brought in Jonathan in that way, but he did not. And he did not try to become manipulative and controlling and spreading gossip about, can you believe what so-and-so did to me? Let me tell you about them. Let me tell you what they're doing. And then they just build this case to make that person perhaps even look a lot worse than they are, or even pin that person against them and cause that brother or sister to stumble because of their bitterness now. They did what to you? They said what about that? And then now they're in sin because they're bitter. And you see, Satan wins when that happens. But then, letter C, we need to realize that we need to be respectful. Remember the good. Don't force others to take your side. Let God work in your life, in your heart. He will speak for you. You do have a voice, but make sure you use it in a godly manner that glorifies God and helps the situation and not hinders it. But letter C, you want to be respectful. Now, is there anybody here tonight that would say that Saul deserved respect? I don't think so. He didn't deserve respect because of his behavior, that's for sure. The way he acted, and he was selfish, he was jealous, he was obsessed with killing David. But yet, he was still in a position of ruling as the king of the nation of Israel. And David was respecting that. Now, he had the perfect chance to get revenge. You notice there in your handout in 1 Samuel 26:7 through 9, David had a perfect chance to get revenge, didn't he? When he and his friend, Abishai, was wanting to take him, and as Saul was asleep in the camp, and he had an opportunity to take his life, but David would not allow it. In fact, notice what verse number 9 says. What did David say? And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" You know, we just need to be careful not to speak evil or desire harm upon those that have hurt us. God gives us great liberty in protecting ourselves and guarding our hearts and ourselves. Nothing wrong with that at all, folks. And speaking truth. But we got to be careful that when there is a relationship rupture, that we don't go out of our way to speak evil about people in order to cause more harm upon that person. Because what that does is that speaks of retaliation instead of reconciliation. Because the goal, as we'll see here in a minute, for the Christian anyway, is for always to seek reconciliation in ruptured relationships. That's the goal. You know, it's doubtful that David respected Saul as a person. Who could? The man, again, was crazy. He was dishonorable. He was he's seeking after David's life, but I think David respected the position he was in. But he carried himself in a manner that worked towards reconciliation, although it did not happen. In letter D, I want us to see that something that will help us and understanding how we can respond is don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. There will be times in our life where people will convince us, such as the case with Abishai. And he tried to encourage and to take Saul's life, but David held strong. And there may be some people that convince us to want to be hurtful towards others. That's where we got to take a stand. And we got to be careful about the advice we take, even from people that perhaps don't mean evil about it. There might be some good-intentioned people that just come up and give some bad advice. We all need to realize this tonight. People that we do love and that love us can offer bad advice. You may be somebody you love dearly and that loves you dearly, but quite frankly, they may offer some bad advice. And what do we do in that situation? I'll tell you what we do. We saturate everything we do by the Word of God. I respond according to the Word of God. And God tells me to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be forgiving. And yes, to take a stand, but to be gracious in doing that. It's with God's Word that I respond. And then letter E, we need to make your relationship with Christ is the answer there. Christ, your focus. And God has made us to be relational people, are we not? God has made us and designed us to be relational. But there is met certain needs through our relationships. Yet, if our confidence is in those relationships, our ultimate confidence in those relationships, that is where we will find them when they're ruptured. We will find ourselves distraught. We will find ourselves getting bitter and resentful when we are putting too much stock in those relationships. Because Christ must be number one. We have to look to Christ as our central focus and not become so attached to one relationship, even a healthy relationship, that it takes away from Christ. We need to understand that our God cares about having our full heart and attention. Notice that verse there in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To what? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David didn't need Saul. Notice this. This is a great point. David didn't need Saul to fulfill the plan of God. David did not need Saul to fulfill the plan of God for his life. You see, for David to be in the position of king, God was going to put him in that position. God was able to place him on that throne at his own time and his own way. And let me make this comment. Please write this down if you can. Nobody can keep you from the will of God except you. Nobody can keep you from the will of God except you. So important. Others can influence you and try to hurt you and discourage you, but they can't keep you from God's will unless you let them, unless I let them. We got to just take some personal responsibility to being Spirit-filled. And I wrote this note down here as God was speaking to me through this study. Don't sacrifice your fellowship with God for the sake of revenge. Don't sacrifice your fellowship with God and your walk with God for the sake of revenge. Get this. What is revenge? Revenge is when you take matters into your own hands. And when you and I take matters in our own hands, we forfeit the power and plan of God in our lives. We forfeit it. We don't want to do that, brethren. No, we want to see God restore relationships, and that's number three, restoring ruptured relationships. That's the number three blank, restoring ruptured relationships. We've looked at the responses we must take personally, but there are then some steps that we need to take towards reconciliation. And I believe there are, as we see in the life of David and even the Apostle Paul. But look at letter A, seek the possibility of restoration. Now, listen, remember our verse that we talked about earlier, what Paul said as he was a great testimony of Jesus Christ. Remember what he encouraged the Romans? Notice there in your handout, if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what that verse, as we can break it down and give some a little bit deeper meaning as we read that, we can understand that verse is saying this. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, because if you are filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you, you will be able to live at peace with all men. But if it be possible, when you're filled with the Spirit, it's possible. If you're not filled with the Spirit, impossible. But notice as much as lieth in you. Don't miss this, church. This is good stuff for us to let it soak in. It was for me as I've been meditating on it. As much as lieth in you, you know what that means right there? As you do your part. In other words, as much lieth in you. As you, as the spiritual one, as the one who has the part to play. In other words, we can't depend on other people to bring the peace. That's between them and God. But I, because of the Holy Spirit, I can. I have a choice. As much lieth in you, in your part. Now, again, I may make a choice. I'm going to love that brother or that sister in Christ. And you know what? That brother or sister or that lost person may not budge. They may stay hateful. They may stay resentful. They may stay unforgiving. But you know what? I've obeyed this verse because as much was within me, as much was in Brinson Jennings, I have sought to live peaceably with all men. And so that's what I believe the Word of God is teaching us tonight. We ought to work towards the restoration when possible. If you know someone's ultimate goal was to kill you, I mean, would you want to seek a restoration with that individual? And most of us in our human nature would say, no, getting out of Dodge. But you know, that's what David did. David was being sought after, and David knew his life was in danger, but he extended a spirit of restoration even after Saul was long gone. And you know the story. We can't really dive into it tonight, but in 2 Samuel, it's there in your handout, 2 Samuel 9, 6, and 7, the time came around and the opportunity came around for David to extend grace and restoration to the grandson of Saul, which is Mephibosheth. This is an opportunity, and look what David did. David brought him in, and verse 7 said unto him, "Fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Hey, Saul was off the scene, but David's heart, get this, church, we can't miss it. David's heart remained gracious. Gracious. May God help us to be gracious people. And I believe we will see more relationships reconciled and restored if we will determine just to be gracious people. Forgiving, loving, kind, even when they've done us wrong. That's the power of God, folks. That'll change us. It'll change our homes. It'll change your church. It's amazing work. It's God's work. And we see that it's obvious. And then letter B, we're coming to a close. We need to stay on the path of reconciliation. Reconciliation. To treat someone who hurt us with an attitude of mercy and restoration isn't easy. It's very difficult. Nobody's claiming this thing is easy tonight. And by the way, the Christian life is hard. If you don't think the Christian life is hard, I'm just going to step out here and say, you're not living the Christian life. It's hard. It's a battle. Can I get an amen right there? It's enjoyable. I love it. I don't regret it. I thank God for what He's done in my life. But there's a great bit of difficulty in that. That's why God says that you need to be a good soldier. You need to fight the good fight because it is a battle. But anyway, we see here the path of reconciliation, and God instructs us to pursue peace. Notice your verses there in your handout. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue it. Go after it. Notice Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen, Saul never allowed David to give this reconciliation. We see that. But at least, get this, but at least David never cut off the possibility. David never cut off the possibility. And then in closing, we think of our Savior. We think about the humiliation and torture Jesus endured because He so desired to do what? Make reconciliation with a dirty, rotten, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner like Brinson Jennings. Jesus sought after me and endured what He did so that I would be reconciled. And you and I, as the Word of God says, were a part of that joy that was set before Him. Does that just warm your heart tonight, brethren? You, me, the joy that was set before Him as He saw us, the enduring was worth it. To reconcile us to the Creator God, sinful man, by the power of Jesus Christ. That is amazing love. And we see that we look to Jesus first and foremost in our purpose to see relationships reconciled. Now listen, notice what we see there in your handout. David was a man after God's own heart. Notice Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now listen, David wasn't perfect, was he? He failed miserably in several ways. But folks, tonight, as we have seen, there are ways that David showed that his heart was inclined toward God by seeking restoration with his enemies. He showed that, and in this, David was very much like his Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of relationship you might be in a ruptured relationship. You might know someone that's in a ruptured relationship. And my exhortation to you tonight is to take these truths that we have looked at and apply them to your own life and even use them to encourage others who are perhaps in a ruptured relationship. And let the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and honored. And when we seek restoration and forgiveness as Christ did, we too are becoming someone after God's own heart. So in closing, we see that retaliation, me. Restoration, God. Retaliation, me. Restoration, God. And I believe we go God's way. That's the best way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for this lesson from our study. And I thank you, God, how you have used it in my heart and strengthened me in more ways than I could ever thank you, Lord. And I pray we would apply the truths to our lives. Lord, the brethren here tonight, I'm not sure what you're doing in each of their hearts, but I pray they would just let you work in a mighty way. And Father, we give you the glory for what all will take place. And we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.